I invite you to take out your Bible, turn to the middle of the Bible, the book of Psalms. This morning we're reading from Psalm 19. We're going to read that in a few moments. So Pastor Tarmo, come on up, but I'm just going to say a few words before you read. So if you could just have a seat for a few moments, and I just want to get us a little bit of context here again. I always find it's helpful when we're going through a series, you know, where are we? What are we doing? Well, this is week number 8, message number 8 in our series called Why Believe? Why in the world would you believe in Jesus or believe in the Christian faith? And we're looking at different pointers or clues as to why we would believe. And I'm hoping that for those of us who would say, I do believe in God, or I believe in Jesus, or I believe in the Christian faith, in the doctrines or the teachings of the Christian faith, that we would have at least a few reasons as to why we believe. Maybe you have a main reason, a primary reason why you believe, but I hope if someone asked you, you would have a number of reasons why you believe, why you're considering or why you believe or you follow Jesus. And I recognize if you were here last week Sunday, this week's Sunday might seem very abrupt. Last week we were talking about pain and suffering, and this morning we're talking about beauty. And putting those two Sundays back to back might feel abrupt. I recognize that. Some of us are still processing, especially the question we had during our Q&A session last week Sunday after the message. Somebody asked a question that was really difficult to grapple with and to answer. Some of us are still grappling with that question this week. But although abrupt, I think last week's message and this week's message is something that the Christian faith tries to do. For me, the Christian faith is a both-and faith or a both-and approach to life. We acknowledge, for example, that human beings are wonderfully made in the image of God, amazing, the crowning of honor that God has given us. But we also acknowledge that human beings are full of every kind of evil. That can be difficult to hold together. And this morning as well, the Christian faith acknowledges overwhelming pain and suffering. Even the attack in London this past week, we see that, we acknowledge that. At the same time, we acknowledge incredible beauty and blessings and goodness in our lives, in the world, even in the universe. So this morning we want to switch gears and talk about that. And I have to confess, I am way out of my element this morning. So I would call myself a Bible guy. I read the Bible, study the Bible, try and present the Bible to people. This morning we're going to talk about the Bible, but also about the universe, the world, sunsets and waterfalls. We're going to talk about the atom, hopefully. Music, movies, paintings, I am way out of my league. And so I've been asking some of you in different ways to help me this morning, and I thank you in advance. Pastor Tarmo, Psalm 19.
Eyes proclaim the word of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In the heavens God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its secret to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise a simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is poor, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more than precious than gold, than much poor gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen.
Amen. I'm always thankful, and I don't take it for granted, that we spend a few moments on Sunday mornings. It always feels like a holy hush when the Word of God is being read. Now, when I start talking, you know, maybe there'll be some interaction, as we've had recently. That's totally fine. But what I always feel when the Bible's being read, I always think, oh, I'm just thankful for some silence, because we don't get that very often, right? So thank you for that. This is a wonderful psalm or song. There's too much there this morning to take it all in. So I'm just focusing on the first verse this morning, where we're told that the heavens are declaring the glory of God, or the heavens are telling the glory of God. And we might wonder, well, what does that mean? What does it mean that the heavens are declaring the glory of God? And maybe other translations can help us. The Message says, God's glory is on tour in the skies. And the Contemporary English Version says, the heavens keep telling the wonders of God. And so we might say that this verse, Psalm 19, verse 1, says the greatness of the creation is pointing us to the greatness of the Creator. Or picking up this morning's sermon title, Beauty is pointing us to beauty. That creational or natural beauty is pointing us to divine beauty. That there's a beauty we see in the creation that's telling us there's something or someone who is beautiful. And so this is true of the heavens. The heavens or the skies or space or the universe is a place of glory and grandeur and beauty. And we're told that in the observable universe, there are 100 billion galaxies. 100 billion galaxies. And our galaxy that we call the Milky Way galaxy is one of those 100 billion galaxies. And our galaxy, kind of a moderate-sized galaxy, has 300 billion stars in it. 300 billion stars. But there are bigger galaxies. It doesn't have the same kind of name as Milky Way, but there's the IC 1101 galaxy. I call it a monster galaxy. And I had to actually count those zeros. I hope. It's supposed to say 100 trillion stars. 100 trillion stars in this IC 1101 galaxy. Now, man, that's a lot of stars. That's enormous. That's, I think, part of what Psalm 19, verse 1 is saying. I don't think the author knew that, but as we keep discovering other galaxies, I think Psalm 19, verse 1 just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. The heavens are declaring something, and this psalm says they are declaring the beauty or the glory of God. And not just the heavens, but also the earth. We read in the book of Isaiah that the earth is full of the glory of God, or the earth is full of the beauty of God. And I assume we've all seen a picture of the earth before, taken from space. I hope we never grow indifferent to this picture. Maybe someday it'll change, maybe. But right now, as far as I know, it's the only place in the universe we can get a picture like this. It's the only planet, as far as we know, as far as I know, unless I've been missing something, scientists or, you know, NASA discovery, but with browns and greens and whites and blues. It's an amazing picture. It makes me think about the song, "This is my Father's world." I think about the heavens, and I think about that song we sang earlier, "God of wonders beyond our galaxy." But this kind of picture makes me think about songs that tell us about the earth or the world that God, who the Bible says is like a father, has created. And then we have also in the earth, we have things, or on the earth, we have things like sunsets and things like waterfalls that are amazing to see, even the pictures themselves, but actually to be there and to witness these things. And I know that maybe some people, maybe even us this morning, would say, "Oh, that's all rather subjective, isn't it? Like, you show us a picture of this galaxy and the earth and a waterfall and a sunset, but that's just, you think it's beautiful. I don't think it's beautiful. So it's just all part of your personal tastes." And that's possible. Maybe that's true. The way that I'm thinking about beauty this morning is that beauty is like goodness or morality. I think there's real goodness. I think there's real morality. I think there are certain things that are right and other things that are wrong. And in the same way, I think that there's real beauty. Now, we can sometimes discuss, you know, is that painting, is that piece of heavy metal music, is it really beautiful? Okay, so we might have some difference there. But I'm not going to give up that there is real beauty on the earth or in the universe. And I say this, even though, to be honest, and I know some of you will be aghast at this, but I don't really recognize beauty. When, especially we're talking about waterfalls and sunsets, like, there are certain people in our family, they see it. Every time we drive to Alberta, "Kids, get off your iPods and your phones and look around. Look around." And I'm like, "Oh yeah, you know, I've been here before. I know it's beautiful, but I just don't always see it." And I could say, "Well, you think it's beautiful, I don't." But I think the better response is, my sensors are not taking it in as they should be. I'm not noticing beauty the way that I should be. This past week, I took our three oldest kids to see the new movie, Beauty and the Beast. And this is actually what happened. I know it'll sound like I'm making this up, but I'm sitting there just before it starts, and I thought, "Oh, a movie about Beauty and the Beast? I'm talking about beauty this Sunday. Maybe there's something in the movie that will be like a sermon illustration." I actually thought that. All of a sudden, it hit me. And there was a wonderful moment, many of them, and I don't want to give the whole movie away, and hopefully by saying this, I'm not giving the movie away. I assume most of us kind of know the story. But there's this amazing moment about halfway through the movie, Belle and the Beast are walking outside on the grounds, and she's reading poetry. And they're going over this bridge, and then all of a sudden he stops, and he looks out over his estate, and it's like he's seeing it for the first time. The poetry, a beautiful young woman beside him, I think those things contribute, but all of a sudden he stops, and it's like, "Oh, I never saw it like I see it now." And I think so often I'm like the beast. Look at that mountain. Look at that waterfall. Look at that sunset. I know it's beautiful. But I need to have my eyes opened. And not just the heavens and the earth, but even sometimes the smallest things in the creation, I think, point to beauty. So recently, our daughter Grace had to have, or she did a science assignment. She had to make a model of an atom. And so she made this model, and I'm going to invite her to bring it up and show us. And then I thought, well, maybe I'll ask a scientist among us, a researcher at UBC who goes to Nelson Avenue to talk about the atom. So, Eddie, I did talk to him. I gave him a really tough assignment. Because Eddie, he said, I'm more of a cell guy. I like cells. So this is an atom. But I said, is there one thing you could tell us about the atom or the atoms in the cell? That'd be like, whoa.
All right. Okay. I just wrote something because I didn't know anything about the atom. A few things about that. So this beautiful model of an atom that Grace Scouten recreated has been the result of years of research to get the scientific evidence to understand the composition of the ordinary matter. Atoms are essential constituents of matter, which in size are around in 1 in 10 million millimeters, and formed by the fermions. So these come the weird names now. So the fermions, the electrons, neutrons, and protons that are also these two last ones are called the nucleons. And these are called, these two last particles give most of the mass of the atoms that are from elementary particles that are also called quarks. So the quarks, right there, can you see it? You have to believe me, those are quarks. Yeah, they are held by another kind of particles called gluons. So the combination of atoms results in proteins, DNA, RNA, chemical compounds, and essential molecules that are important for the most of the living beings. So although that we know today about elementary particles is amazing, one of the most beautiful things that the human beings have seen is the cell. So this is not the cell, but these are part of the cell. And they are small enough to go unnoticed or invisible to the naked eye. And even with the most powerful microscope on Earth, it's not enough to appreciate the whole tremendous complexity of the cell machinery, where proteins, structures, RNA, DNA, and signaling molecules are precisely synthesized, modified, and their transport finally orchestrated within the cell regions where and where they are required. I know maybe this is something that you may already know. For some of you here, and this is boring or confusing, but the beauty of these little structures, the cells, inspired microbe hunters for centuries. And still in this area, thousands of researchers are captivated and inspired by this insignificant in size structure, but full of cellular, molecular, and biochemical information, which make them unique in how they live or behave within another living structure or the environment. So thanks, Grace.
Thanks, Eddie. I'm just amazed that there's so much going on in an atom as small as it is. And it's not just the heavens or the earth or an atom that are meant to, I believe, elicit some kind of response. There are also people who, in some ways, show us the beauty of the earth by artistic expression. So I'm thinking this morning about an argument for God. It's called The Argument from Aesthetic Experience. I get this from Peter Kraft, philosophy teacher at Boston College. Very simple, but I think profound. He says, there is the music of Johann Sebastian Bach or some other artists. Second point, therefore there must be a God. And then the note says, you either see this one or you don't. So I want us to listen for a few moments to another piece of music. Because I'm not a classical music guy, but there are a few pieces of music that I know. And if we can put it together, just maybe 20 or 30 seconds about this piece of music, which always for me kind of stirs me inside. Thanks, Tom. I love that piece of music because it makes me think about weddings. That's what I think about. I've done enough weddings that some people have that piece of music. And for us, who are believers in Christ, of course, weddings are bigger than weddings, right? The music makes me think about weddings, and weddings are meant to have us think about the relationship between Jesus and the church. So, the music pointing maybe for me to weddings, and weddings pointing to something even bigger. And I've been this past week thinking about how arts and artists, even in our congregation, help reveal beauty. It's amazing, actually, how many artists we have in our congregation, in our church community. I can't name them all this morning, but there are some who write songs, some take pictures, some write dramas or novels or poetry or fiction. Some dance, some draw, some paint, some sculpt, and it goes on, and some make movies. So we have a member of our church who was part of the artistic team that created last year's The Jungle Book, which is actually an amazing movie to watch. And then for me, even more amazing, because I found out most of it is computer animated. It's just the boy. He's the only real thing in the movie. How's that possible? Now, this movie recently won an Oscar for Best Visual Effects. So, Sanjeet, congratulations on your Oscar. Please keep making great and beautiful and stirring movies for us to watch. I also think about another artist in our community, Owen Rohu. Owen works also in the movie industry. He makes digital paintings, which if you ever wanted, it's amazing what he does. But he also has done more what we might call traditional paintings. So here's a couple of his paintings. So, and then there's also one of a... Now when I see paintings like this, typically, my first response is, how is that possible? How can someone paint like that so well? And Owen's actually written something this morning about his art in your bulletin. You can read that in the back. But the last sentence of what he wrote, I thought I wanted to say that out loud. He says at the end, the arts provide us with the most spiritual way to portray our world. Which is a bold claim, but I think lots of truth in that. There's something in the arts or among artists as they create and show in different ways beauty that is a wonderful way of portraying our world. And it's one of the reasons I think about artists, I think about other things we've talked about this morning, it's one of the reasons why I commend the Christian faith to us and to others. I think the Christian faith acknowledges beauty. Yes, there's pain, there's suffering, there's also beauty. We have to try and keep that together. The Christian faith acknowledges that this beauty points us to the source of beauty himself, God himself. I think the Christian faith says that when we see beauty, we see something beautiful, we typically think there must be someone who made that. Now, this might sound too simplistic. I don't think it is. But if I were to tell you, no one made that. I just found this painting on the side of the road, but no one made that. What would you think? What are you talking about? If you found some garbage kind of swirled around on the curb, yeah, I could say no one made that, just so it happened. But when we see something that looks beautiful, we assume someone made it. Now that maybe is too simplistic, but I think we take our experience from human life and we just make it bigger. If we see beauty on the earth or we see beauty in the universe, we should at least consider that someone has put that beauty there. But for me, most of all, the beauty that we're talking about this morning points us to the beauty of Jesus Christ. Not so much his appearance. The Bible gives us a little hint that maybe Jesus wasn't really all that handsome. We're not sure. I'm not saying he wasn't. I'm just saying we have no indication he was, and we have at least a little bit of an indication maybe he wasn't handsome or beautiful on the outside. But the beauty of Jesus is not his outward appearance. Now, I've shown this picture before, had the same kind of response from people. It's not your typical picture of Jesus, but I like to show it because I'm trying to get us away from some of what I call the typical pictures of Jesus. Long flowing hair, almost looks Caucasian, walking around with a white robe, blue sash, easily identifiable. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that should be our picture of Jesus. The beauty of Jesus is not so much what we see, his appearance, but as the Gospels show us, his character, his teachings, his healings, his welcoming of others, his life of humility, prayer, singular commitment to his Father, and then ultimately, although not beautiful to look at, his beautiful sacrifice. This is where I would say the pain of the world and the beauty of God come together. And to believe in Jesus is to, I think it's to eat him, to long for him, to thirst for him, but also to embrace him as the one who is beautiful. A beautiful teacher, a savior, that we're drawn to his beauty, the beauty of who he is, and we want to understand the beauty of Jesus. We want more of his beauty in our lives. And we long for him like we long for something beautiful. So maybe a new way or a different way of thinking about faith and Jesus and the journey of faith. This morning I want to pray that that would happen to us. We would see in Jesus not just a nice guy, a good teacher, someone helpful, but someone beautiful. So let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for this morning, the service and your word, and we're thankful, Lord, for those who have contributed to the service and even to the message this morning. We're thankful, Lord, I want to thank you this morning for artists among us. And I want to pray that as they do their work in different places, that you would give them a vision of what you're calling them to do with their artistic talents. And then, Lord, also a vision for us as a church, how their work can draw us and others to you. We do ask, Lord, for faith to see, eyes to see you, Lord Jesus, as the beautiful one, as the one that we long for, as we long for beautiful things. Lord, may your beauty overwhelm us. May we be drawn to it. And may you help us to see you, not just the things around us, but you, Lord Jesus, as beautiful. We want to long for you. We want to be, in some ways, drawn to you. So do that by your Spirit's power. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.